Good morning.
안녕하세요.
It's good to see you all here, those familiar and those new to this place. After this remembrance service, there will be a short church meeting, and part two of the meeting will happen in December. This evening's reflective worship will be a time to remember those who have died. Please invite your friends and family. However, there's little or no time to go home, for between the services, there will be a concert to celebrate Tony Wenman's 50 years of service as our organist. All are welcome to all these things. I have no specific pastoral news. Thank you to all of you who contributed to the Link to Hope shoebox appeal, and we were able to send 96 boxes. Our thanks go to Sally for leading this initiative this year. Starting at 1:30 on Wednesday afternoon, there will be 24 hours of prayer in this place. Feel free to come and join as your personal time will allow you. On Thursday the 16th at 12:30, there is a lunchtime piano recital here given by Constance Leong Chow. We will be having electric radiators being installed in the centre hall this week, so there will be some periods of disruption due to noise if you're here during the week. I suggest you take your service paper home with you as a reminder of all the activities and events that are taking place here. Thank you.
We join together to worship God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things will have passed away. Amen. We join to sing a hymn which is available in English and Korean. Now thank we all our God. we join to pray? Let us pray. God, forgive us, for we so readily divide your one human family into neat groups, tidily sorted with convenient labels. We forget that you are a loving, kind Mother, Father, God to us all, unconditional in your love. Forgive us for those places where religion is used as a weapon, culture as a shield, and we build dividing walls that deny the rich variety of human experience. Help us to hear the voice of Jesus, who praises the goodness of a Samaritan traveler, who shows compassion to a Roman soldier, who invites himself into the home of a tax gatherer, receives the blessing of a prostitute, and takes children on his knee. In the name of Jesus, we say that we are members of one human family, that all women are our sisters and all men are our brothers, that we are kinsfolk to every race. Forgive our foolishness. Our aggression, our violence, our obsession with me and mine and our ways. And open us, Lord Jesus, to the possibility of the new, the different. The Lord says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sins from you. We are forgiven. In his name, thanks be to God. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So would you like, please, to turn around and have a look at these wise children that are going to talk to you? Sophia Brain? Good plan. You're on the move.
Why do we wear poppies?
We wear poppies because people, a lot of people were in the war and they died to save our lives.
So they could be remembered and be popular for what they've done.
You just have to remember them because most of us wouldn't be born if they didn't help.
I think it's good to remember the wars. In London, it's full of poppies around the tower.
888,246 poppies of the people, of the soldiers who died of World War I and World War II.
These are in remembrance of the people that died fighting in the war. Loads of people died, and all the poppies represent each person that has died.
It's important to remember because we could have not been here if it wasn't for them.
There were bombs of them, and they killed themselves because they wanted to give this country a better life, so that if they didn't, they wouldn't get the country a better life.
Well, I know about the Second World War. I wouldn't go there because they were throwing bombs everywhere, and they were killing people with their bombs.
We thank them for dying, because if they didn't die, our England wouldn't be a better place. So thanks to everyone for dying.
Thank you very much, and we appreciate what you did for us.
It was a really bad war, but they died for us. They fought for us.
They worked hard, and they need to be remembered because they fought for our country.
Thank you for just fighting for our lives in the wars. You risked your lives for us.
If there was someone really wise, they would like stop people from fighting.
So whatever is going on all over the country in terms of people wearing poppies and celebrating in a sort of military way, that's not what we are here about. We are here remembering all those, regardless of their nationality, who have fought in wars. And that's the whole range of them. That's what we're doing. And we will pray for peace. We're not saying something about Britain, except we acknowledge the fact that British men and women died in conflict. We're not saying that we're the best. We're talking about the fact that human beings sometimes behave in violent ways, and we need God's help, and we remember, and then we work for peace. So we're going to sing this song. How many of you know the tune, The Farmer's in His Den? You ever played that game? I suspected not. The farmer's in his den, the farmer's in his den, E-I-I-D-O, the farmer's in his den. And I tell you what, it's YouTube it. You learn. It's an old-fashioned, it's like, you know, Ring a Ring of Roses, old-fashioned. You know Ring a Ring of Roses. It's an old-fashioned kids game, The Farmer's in His Den. Right, so this is the tune. And when it comes to pass it on, you've got to turn round and shake somebody by the hand really quickly. Or you can do a bump, or you can do a... Okay? Right, so you've got to get up and do it. Very much. You might find you might feel you missed out on some people. Let's so having said what we said, we're going to pray. We've got a number of people who've asked us to pray for specific range of things, so I'm going to tell you about those and then they'll lead us into prayer. This is from the foyer box. Please pray for me to have my papers. This is, I guess, is immigration. I've been in the country for almost 15 years. I'm signing on with the Home Office once a month. I'll just give it to Debbie. For good health and happiness, and that she will want me again. As town centre chaplains, we have been asked by a shopkeeper to ask the church to pray for her son and daughter-in-law. They are expecting a baby, and earlier this year, their first baby was stillborn. Please pray that this previous loss will not rob them of the joy of this pregnancy, and also pray that this baby will be born alive and well. And the other interesting thing about that request is that the woman who has asked us to pray is a Muslim. To pray for Liz Cook's grandson, Jacob, who has an ulcer in his lower spine. So he's hospitalized, been in intensive care, to pray for him and his family. And to pray for a family in the church where homelessness, which they've always known about, has suddenly got very close by in terms of a family member. So we join to pray. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in a dark hour, you spoke of the gift of peace. We beg that gift for ourselves, that we may have the inner serenity that cannot be taken from us. And then we would be messengers of your peace to a strife-torn world. So we have been asked to pray and making it more general. We pray for all those who live with the fact that somebody doesn't want them. And we pray for all those who have to sign on because of their immigration status. We pray for all those who are expecting a child, all those who are anxious, and particularly for this family where they've already had a child stillborn, and for all those others for whom that is their experience. And that the first loss wouldn't rob them of the joy of the second pregnancy. And that these babies would be born alive and well. And sadly, Lord Jesus, we know that some will die on this day, and we pray for your powerful presence to be with those who will have a stillborn child today. We pray for all those who are in hospital. Particularly, we pray for Liz Cook's grandson, Jacob, for his parents, for your healing for him. Loving God, homelessness is something that we are used to, which is a shocking thing all on its own. But each of the people who are homeless on our streets once was somebody's beloved child. Some of them still are. We pray for families where somebody is street homeless. We pray for communication. We pray that love would be received, as well as we pray for houses and political solutions. We pray for those who are fighting today. Injury, disfigurement, and death, their constant companions, and nerves and bodies strained beyond endurance, and the streams of compassion drying within them. Whatever their color, we pray for them. Whatever the sound of their voice, we pray for them. Whatever badges they wear or garments that are theirs, we pray for them. We pray for peace. We pray for those who've been broken in battle. For those who weep and those who can no longer weep. For those who feel the anguish and those who've lost the capacity to feel. For those who are held captive. And for those who live in war-torn lands, and for those who no longer have a country that they can call home. And we pray for those who stir up the strife. For those who make a profit out of the misery of others. Lord, the desire to press self-interest is deeply rooted in us. We defend our attitudes when we should be ashamed of them. We compare the noblest aspects of our own cause with the worst of our opponents. And we are reluctant to admit that we are selfish and that could contribute to the misery of others. So in our relationships, give peace. We remember those whose stories are heavily on our hearts and minds. for those families where the consequence of armed conflict and wars fought long ago are still lived out today. And we pray for ourselves that we would celebrate the liberty that is ours and not take it for granted. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So I invite you, if your legs will let you, to stand, and if your legs will not lift, allow it, to lift up your heart. Up again. So let us remember before God and commend to God's sure keeping those who have died for their country in war. Maybe some that we knew, maybe somebody whose story we have heard through the years. And let us remember all those who loved and lived and died in the service of mankind. Response to this is, we will remember them. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember and remember them. Let us pray. Today, Lord, we weep and mourn for the heritage that is lost and for the ones who died before they even lived. The sons and daughters of all humanity, whom no guard could protect, who were killed or hurt in war. We remember houses blown to rubble and cities devastated by fire and nations brought to ruin and peoples destroyed. And tomorrow we will pray that our cities will be guarded in peace, and our homes will be built in freedom, and that our children will grow old. And tomorrow we will speak even with our enemies, so that all will flourish, and justice may come, and so that God's people will renew the rewards of peace and never pay again the bitter price of war. Strengthen us, Lord our God, that we would be among those who work for your peace. Lord, we pray. Amen. We join together to sing, O God, our help in ages past. Amen. Have a seat. So we're going to hear a reading now. And then after the reading, I'm going to invite you to talk about it to the people sitting round about you. And that might mean that for some of you, you need to move so that you can speak easily and fluently with somebody that you're going to speak in your first language. Not nailed to the seat. And in case of you, Natasha, I'm afraid you're in trouble because none of us can speak Russian. I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm wrong. One of us can speak Russian. Anyway, you're allowed to get up and move eventually. So let's listen for the word of God as Hosanna Lee reads this passage to us from Matthew's Gospel, and let us consider in our hearts and minds what the challenge is to love.
This reading is taken from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 46, the Great Commandment. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they came together, and one of them, a teacher of the law, tried to trap him with a question. "Teacher," he asked, "which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the most important commandment. The second most important commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The whole law of Moses and the teachings of the prophets depend on these two commandments." The question about the Messiah. When some Pharisees gathered together, Jesus asked them, "What do you think about the Messiah? Whose descendant is he?" "He is David's descendant," they answered. "Why then," Jesus asked, "did the Spirit inspire David to call him Lord?" David said, "The Lord said to my Lord, 'Sit here on my right until I put your enemies under your feet.' If then David called him Lord, how can the Messiah be David's descendant?" No one was able to give Jesus any answer, and from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Amen.
And let's be clear, we would have been among the and didn't ask Jesus any more questions gang. You know, we know it to be true. So that reading, I would think, is in two parts. The first part is what I really want you to be chatting about. What does love mean in terms of loving God and loving your neighbour as you love yourself? What does that mean? And the second part of the reading I would just highlight for you, which is that Jesus knew how to do those arguments in that very particular way. He knew how to do it. So when he comes up with these bold, broad statements all about, you know, what's the most important commandment, he could have got the scriptures out and done some sort of, well, I think you'll find in paragraph 46, he could have done that sort of conversation, but he didn't. His message to those who asked the question and his message to us is the most important thing is to love. What does that mean? What does that mean for you in your situation? What does that mean? This is not a rhetorical question at this point. I am inviting you to move your chairs, turn around, speak to somebody. Wouldn't it be great if you spoke to somebody you don't know very well? Wouldn't that be fabulous? 3, 2, 1. Dun, 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 dun. Hello. Earth to congregation, are you receiving me? Now, I'm very, very sure that lots of you heard some really great and wise things said. I know that to be true. And you know what else I know? I know that some of you said some really great and wise things. I know that true. I met you people before. It's true. Would anybody like to share with the rest of us something that they heard somebody else say? Maddie, you've been...
What do you want me to say? Yeah. We discussed a programme that some of us had watched on TV where a really well-off family and a poorer family changed houses and lifestyles for a week. And one of the interesting things was that one of the really well-off families realised that actually the poorer family spent more time together. And there was a bit of a discussion with us about, you know, did they actually spread more love than the richer family?
Okay. Cute. Coming through.
Thank you. It shares first time here with us today, so welcome.
God bless you, Cher. And what a baptism of fire. Go on.
Yes, and she shared with us something that I will take away with me. It's a wonderful picture of the cross, and she talked about love, God's love being shared in the cross, top to bottom, to enable us horizontally to share with our neighbours. So... and everybody
Whoa,
else.
Yes. That round of applause is not is saying thank you to God for you speaking to us. Mm. Let's pray. Sometimes it's easy to love people. Usually when they're a long way away and when we're not spending very much time with them. But all people that are close are irritating and demanding, and they've got strange things about them, as we have. Help us to be your loving people. And empowered by your Spirit. And help us to work on ourselves that we would be your lovable people. And that also will be the work of your Spirit. Take us beyond the closeness of those that we know. Take us beyond our prejudices and the bunkers in which we live. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's continue our worship as we make our offering. Thank you, God, that this offering reminds us that following you is not about spiritual moments, mountaintops, silence, sunsets. It is also about the everyday, the money, the time, each of our moments. May they be used to your glory. Lord, we pray. Amen. We join to sing our final hymn, which is Put Peace Into Each Other's Hands. You could go rush around shaking everybody by the hand. You could. I don't think you're going to, but you could. We join to sing. of the biddings from me, the response is, be with us. Humanity is in darkness, longing for the light of Christ as we wait for peace in places and times of war. Be with us. As we pray for families to be reconciled, be with us. As we pray for lands to be restored, be with us. As we pray for long-term security, be with us. As we pray for the challenges that are ours, be with us. As we pray for kindness and community, be with us. Restore and set right our relationships, O God. Replace the darkness in our hearts with your light, your joy, and let your word set alight the hope the world needs to bring to life your love and your justice. Lord, we pray. Amen.